And good morning, and welcome to What's Brewing CSFA. What's Brewing CSFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CSFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CSFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CSFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
All right, Dana, I hope you filled up your cup well, because there's a third cup in the virtual room here today.
Yes, we
have a third cup here. So let's welcome our special guest today, Linda Williams from Sierra College, former CSFA president herself from not too long ago. Welcome, Linda.
Why, thank you. Thank you both.
It's great to have you on the show. And if we may ask, what's in your cup this morning?
Oh, I'm kind of a coffee snob, so I get my coffee from back east, believe it or not.
Okay.
It's been produced in a whiskey barrel.
That is awesome.
Ooh, okay. That is awesome.
If we needed a paid sponsor for coffee, Dana, we need to talk to Linda after the show.
Yes, we do.
Figure out how this coffee comes about.
Yeah. Now, you get it shipped to you, Miss Linda?
I do. Oh, wow. It comes to us in beans, and we grind it when we get home. Operation is a two-man show, and it's incredible. Oh, you all should smell this coffee.
I can only imagine that it's got to be pretty good. Is it a strong coffee, too?
I prefer a good strong brew, so it is a strong coffee. You can make it weak by not filling up the basket as much, but you can't make it strong enough for me.
Well, and we do tape this on a Friday. We need everything we can get today to get us through till the weekend starts in about 8.5 hours or so for most people.
Absolutely.
Well, that's awesome. So you've gone all out. You've gone hooty-tooty coffee on us. That's great.
I know. It's not unlike my friend Dennis, who also likes a good beverage.
Yes, I usually go straight from the whiskey barrels, and try to get something nice out of that. Or preferably the type of barrels that come from Scotland.
Okay.
Yes, some of my favorite stuff. But I've been told by Dana I can't be drinking that stuff early in the morning on the show.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, Dennis, Nick, not during the show.
I know, okay.
Maybe the after-hour show.
Yes, that's right. When we get to the second type of show that we do for CSFA, for the financial aid after dark.
Yes.
Help me in.
Yeah, I will, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, that's the kind of show that I imagine would be like a president's reception at a conference, a little looser, get to know people in a whole new way. Mm-hmm. Talking about CSFA and conferences. The reason we have you on, Linda, because, of course, you're one of my favorite financial aid directors, because I've learned so much from you while serving on the board back in the day when you were president. But we want to know a little bit more about you. Like, for example, let's start with the easy one. How'd you get involved in financial aid? How'd your life go wrong? I mean, go right.
It went right. I was discharging from the military and was picked up by my local university while I was up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and Anchorage, Alaska thereafter. And I was picked up by the financial aid office as an employee for an executive assistant to the vice president, which was part of the financial aid world then.
Okay.
And while sitting in this role, I had a front row seat to bad policy, bad ethics, treating students incorrectly. And I thought, holy cow, I could make a difference here. I can make a change. So I changed the direction and trajectory of my education to hopefully one day sit in the seat that I'm sitting in now.
Wow. Interesting. Wow. And if you don't mind, if I step back one extra step, I'd like to know, military. So what were you doing and how long were you in for?
I was in the Air Force and I served for 12 years.
Wow.
And a little weird thing about me is that I knew if I didn't leave my hometown, which I currently am back in now.
Okay.
But if I didn't leave my hometown as a young adult, I would probably end up in jail. I was just a hooligan.
Uh-huh.
So the military set me right.
Wow. Dana, this is all news to me too, just so you know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Linda would be the last person I would have thought that, but that's interesting. And thank you for your service. Wow. 12 years in the Air Force.
Yeah.
Wow. That is nice.
My husband is 37. He retired from it.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume then you've been, just as the Johnny Cash song says, you've been everywhere then.
Right.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're happy to have you here in the state. Cause again, you know, you working at, Sierra, brought you into CISFA, and we had, the good fortune to have you in a number of roles, I believe. Right.
Yes. Correct. Yes.
So you've been, and you were CISFA president and, What's your thoughts on the time there? Because I'm still only in my first half of my presidency year.
So this means that I'm old. But, you know, I came into the presidency actually as president-elect when Brian Heineman was president.
Yes.
And that's when we were switching our affiliation and how we were going to operate as an association.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian and I held our roles for 18 months.
That's
so
right.
I was tutored by Brian, who's a fearless leader of ours, mm-hmm. who has since retired. And for 18 months, we had the best time. I have to tell you, I thought, oh no, 18 months of being something, but it was so much fun. I learned so much from my colleagues during that time. Cause really, as you know, Dennis, being president is facilitating leadership, not necessarily
truly
leading. And I loved my time and continue to love my time with all that I work with across the state, and you included. And now Dana in this mm-hmm. in this process. So I don't think that I can give you anything that would be a negative for me, all positive.
I'm with you on that. I mean, again, I had my president-elect year relatively easy and smooth. I'm, you know, getting to the midpoint of the presidency year. And you're right. It's about growing new leaders and keeping the association alive and vibrant. And again, we have such great people every year on the board. And I think back to sometimes you hear people like, it looks like the same people on the board. Well, not really. I mean, sometimes there's some carryover. I mean, I feel like I've been on the board a long time, but we have so many new faces coming up. And I got to say also, you know, your school in particular, and I think this comes from you. We've seen a lot of faces from Sierra on the board, and that is awesome.
Yes, I think I'm with you. I think cultivating leadership needs to start with us at the campus level. So I've encouraged my entire team to be involved with the change that they want to see within their association, within state financial aid, and to serve federally as well. And as leaders, Dennis, you do the same thing. I see that. So it's just... It's just part of the many hats I think we wear and our responsibility. It
Absolutely.
Impacts millions of students if we don't.
Well, exactly. We're a big, big association, 115 colleges. We have up to 2 million plus students in any given year. And we have thousands of people working in our field. And so, you know, I really do take it to heart that the work that we can do through CISFA, whether we're presidents, regional reps, for everyone listening out there to get involved, that's a good starting point. Other spots on the board, committee members. Again, it's not the fact that you're just giving free time away. You're giving it in a way that's going to be beneficial to you and your fellow financial aid people. And who doesn't want to have better people to work with?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's key. So I really want to say, yeah, you lived through an interesting time. For those who don't remember back in the day, usually CISFA, our association, would buddy up our conference with CASFA, our California Association for Student Financial Aid Administrators. And we'd hold it usually in the later part of the year, the November, December part of the year. And at some point, we felt the need to break away from that. And so we moved to a spring conference, and CASFA stayed in the fall. You know, there was still CASFA. There was the Federal Student Aid Conference that came later. And so we kind of changed how our elected positions were. And so we're now like a July 1st to June 30 cycle, whereas before it's kind of on a year thing. So Linda got stuck in that cycle, in that cyclone, and got an 18-month period of time there for one of her roles, as did Mr. Heineman, who has since retired. You're right. I talked to him mere weeks before he was moving out of state. He's moved on to Arizona to warmer, higher climates. He's in one of those cities that's up in the hills or whatever. So, that's all looking forward for us at some point. Not for that's you, right. Linda. You're too young, and we need you around for a while, you know.
And that's the reason I love you.
Exactly. Well, no, I mean, you know, this is something we'll definitely be getting into in the middle segment of the show after we are done talking with CISFA. But you have, beyond the CISFA world, you know, stayed involved in so many other areas that are tied to financial aid that's really kept, you know, us at the forefront of our state electors' minds. You know, all kinds of topics that I want to make sure that we get into. But with CISFA. So do you, you're currently on the board still too, right? You're still our regional rep up there.
That's correct. I am region 2 rep, which is a beautiful way to stay involved. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something that I was asking to do at that time, but the person who was our regional 2 rep at that time had taken on an additional family responsibility. Uh-huh. So I stepped in, which is what we do when a need arises. And I stepped in hopes that I could cultivate other regional 2 reps to come in to help us out, whether it's from Sierra or from any other campus mm-hmm. in our region.
And you cover, for those who don't know, we have 10 regions across the state. The good thing is we keep them kind of in order, starting with number 1 at the top, working our way down to number 10 in the San Diego area. And you are in region 2, so you're just below the top there. But that puts you down actually very close to, because the top of the state is less dense population-wise, puts you closer to Napa Valley, right, and you don't get into San Francisco and the Bay Area because that's like region four mm-hmm. maybe, mm-hmm. but you move towards Sacramento area,
right? And you know what's kind of funny about this is that part of my education works in public administration, and I love legislative work, always oh, yeah. have. And since we sit at the seat of California's government in Sacramento, I'm often called upon to do some ledge work for the association. And I just received a call yesterday from our chancellor's office to get some ledge work opinions and other things underway.
Oh, wonderful.
So,
oh,
wow. Yeah, and I know it's because of the opportunities that CISFA has given me through the years to grow in a passion that I have, which is legislative type things. But, you know, we also serve in our area, the Los Rios district and mm-hmm. and Napa School. I mean, there's a number of us that I'm really privileged to work alongside. Just love the opportunity.
Beyond being just a beautiful area of the state, having we did a executive board transition meeting a number of years ago up in Santa Rosa. You got some great colleagues up there too, and just some fantastic schools. I mean, they're all over the state, but if you have not made your way to wine country, go up there and then, you know, maybe take a drive through a campus if you can, to see some of the beautiful campuses, even if the people might not be working from there right this minute, maybe when things open back up, but mm-hmm. I guess a fantastic area up there, Linda, no yeah. doubt.
Oh, well, I'm lucky. I know.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, we're at that point where we're going to take a short little musical interlude and then work our way into the next segment of our interview with Linda Williams.
And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
This is the time to fill up your cups, people, because we're about halfway through with our special guest, Linda Williams, financial aid director at Sierra College. Or Linda, do you have one of those fancier titles and just financial aid director?
Yeah, they've anointed me a title for enrollment management. I'm director of enrollment management.
Okay.
And financial aid.
Okay.
Because as you know, financial aid is not just financial aid. It's entry, continuing, and exit for all students. So it kind of makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we are we're key, even at the community colleges, which I think sometimes gets lost on our counterparts and our bosses and others at the college, you know, because it's easy to see when it's a four-year private school. And I have friends, like you surely do, that work in that segment that, they're so ingrained into the enrollment management cycle. Get the students in, give them the right amount of aid, institutional, college, mixed with the federal and state money to, balance out and get a variety of students in. And then keep them there, you know. But it's the same for us. So it's good to hear that you've got that kind of expanded duties. And I hope that we see more of that.
I do, too.
Yeah. So talking about your involvement, you know, this is the area that why I really think having Linda on the show is so wonderful. You know, beyond just financial aid, I've got here written down a couple key topics that I know that, you know, you've been involved with. And in particular, one of them that comes up, and I think there's, some of the videos that were sent to me to remind me about this, guided pathways. Mm-hmm. Something new for us, huh?
It really is. But if you peel it apart, it sure makes sense. It does.
Yeah, it's... For those who haven't heard of it, Linda, if you gave us a 30-second intro to what Guided Pathways is for our audience, what would you say to explain it?
I think it's to guide students to what they want to do in life, not what a major is, but what they want to do in life, and then back into that to try and help them decide, well, what is their best career choice at that point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, because, our average students, especially our more traditional ones that don't come in with the idea that I'm going to do a quick program, get back out in the work world when there's retraining when you're older in life. You know, our more traditional age students coming to community colleges tend to be a little less focused on knowing exactly what they want to do.
Right.
And so you try to pick among 100 majors or academic programs at any given college can be kind of daunting. And certainly if you're going to be into sciences, maybe the health sciences, that path might be slightly different than a student who's thinking, I want to work in sociology or anthropology, when it comes to math and classes like that. And so our guided pathways model here that Linda's been so key on really helps the student kind of get into an area of majors. And then from there, start as they go through school to narrow themselves down a little bit.
Right. It's perfect. Yes, exactly what it is.
So hopefully, I think all the community colleges are on this route. Dana, you'll see it on our campus soon too. Really cool looking graphics have been developed for the,
right?
I think for our six caps, our career academic program plan areas. Mm-hmm. So they've got cool little graphics. And again, it's a nice groupings, and sometimes there's some overlap of mm-hmm. where the academic programs will fall. But I guess, no, Linda, you're on top of that stuff because you're on top of another number of things, including you talked about state issues, but one of those big issues for us, at least in financial aid, was technology and the use of technology and the funding for technology.
You know, it's a funny intro because I had a need on my campus to be more efficient with verification. And at the time, mm-hmm. I was interviewing four or five verification software companies, not knowing how much money the investment would be at the time.
Sure.
So I thought, oh my gosh, my campus isn't going to be able to afford this. What can we do for my campus that could also spill out to the rest of the community college system? Because if I'm in this situation, others are too. So that's how it started. And working with the league, with the California Community College League, we pitched an idea to our legislative body, and they bought, you know.
Yes, so did.
They did a nice robust allocation to roll out, and then an allocation thereafter, our fair share for each campus. And it's been so helpful for me, and I hope that it's been so helpful for others to be on the cutting edge, because, you know, we don't often get additional funding for staffing and such. So we've got to find efficiencies in other areas, and using software is that efficient process for so many of us.
It really has. I have to say that push is it's been extremely well taken. It's rare that I, even in our regional meetings, and usually I attend Region 7 and 8, which is most of LA and Orange County schools. Maybe initially when the money came out, there was some concerns about how are we going to spend it? Like, oh no, we've got all this money. But at the same time, luckily, and this is all pre-COVID, everybody, many of us were making that move that Linda was talking about, to finding software and other solutions to making our processes more efficient for us on our end, and of course, better for the student too, a better front end. And many of us got moved into different software packages pre-COVID. And I got to say, I don't know how we would do it now without something like this.
Dennis, I couldn't agree with you more. If we hadn't shifted, you know, we hadn't been in it for very long. Others had already gone into something more efficient before we did. But had we not pivoted during the start of the pandemic, I don't think we could have, as an association, could have served students.
That's true.
Oh, man.
I mean, Dana, you can probably talk to this, right? I mean, us having, without naming a product that allows students to come through our student portal, student information system, and into this other product to do things like verification. We're using it for our SAP petitions. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start doing loan requests through it. And there's I know a lot of schools are using it, especially now, for professional judgments, you know, reviews of losses of income and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
How else would we do it without it, right, Dana?
Man, I shudder to think what our situation would be without the platform that we use. And then I also think with the use of technology, it just streamlines our process even more. You know, could you imagine students emailing their forms and documents to our email account?
Yes.
No, I just couldn't. And you know what else? A really funny thing happened on the way to the forum that was the ability to develop all staff within the office, because I realized that I was a bottleneck for professional judgments. You know, I couldn't always get to the work. And so this software that we're using, and any software would have done this, it puts the decision-making down to the lowest level, whoever is reviewing that particular file. So I stepped away from the bottleneck, and we're developing leaders.
Absolutely.
Through this process.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to say, you know, and it's not that either one of us are avoiding work, because there's still stuff to do. But this allows people like our staff, like Dana, and so many of our technicians and other staff to get their hands right on it. And again, be able to access the paperwork that's not paper, which is the biggest thing, probably.
Absolutely.
And I was just going to say, I think also like you're saying, Ms. Linda, developing leadership skills or leaders within your office, it also gives the opportunity for us to be creative and innovative too in how we operate, you know, virtually, you know, with our students. So.
Oh, yeah. And if I could step back just for a second with Guided Pathways, it's relational. Our success with our students is all about our relationships with our students.
Yes,
And this software creates that relational piece. And so our students are working with people that they can come back and work with again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, so another thing to give you big mad props for there on Linda. Helping us through our technology world. So we're going to take another little musical break here and then slide ourselves into our last little segment. Because because when we hit the last segment, it's time, everybody, for our last sip. Take a nice last sip here, and we are into the last segment of the show. And before we get to the part, Linda, where I'm going to offer you up an I Dare You To selection, just briefly, I know I see your picture here on the background as we do a video thing for this recording. Bees. So you raise bees.
I do. I have 4 beehives on my property. And wow. It is so rewarding. There are times when you guys are going to think I'm so nerdy, but there are times when I just love to sit and watch my bees. They are just watching the colony interact with each other, because everybody has a role, just like the financial aid office. And so all of our bee colonies have these unique roles. And so I am raising them to feed my garden, because I have cultivated a half acre of garden and fruit trees. And I just felt like I needed to have some additional pollinators to help me out with that. And surrounding me are several orchards. So I'm not only helping myself, I'm helping my community with their orchards, and I get free food, free fruit and free vegetables.
Oh, that's nice. That's awesome. So let me ask you, when you do raise bees, I've seen like the white boxes and all that. Do you have any idea, like, for example, at any given time, how many bees you have?
Oh, tens of thousands at any given time. And when I am working within a hive, because you do have to check your hive frequently to make sure that it's healthy, it's not being invaded by other pests or things, that the hum of the bees are so strong, you actually feel it in your chest. So if you were to practice humming for voice, for singing, it's the same effect that you're going to feel in your chest from the humming or the busy bee work that our bees do.
Wow.
And it's beautiful. And I go looking for the queen every time, because the sole responsibility of each hive has its own queen, is to take care of her and nurture her. And so she's taking care of these thousands and thousands of bees to keep us all fed in the
That's
world.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a key position. Give them a thumbs up when you see your queens next time from us for doing a hardworking job there.
You bet.
So in this last segment then, Linda, normally me and Dana and our interviewees have a I Dare You To selection from the music, TV, reading world. Do you have anything that you'd like to throw out to our listeners that you'd like to dare them to listen or sing or whatever?
I do. It's Brené Brown. I'm a fan of Brené Brown. And during this COVID process, I think it's incredibly important that we take care of ourselves or find ways to take care of ourselves and the people that we lead. And Brené Brown has a beautiful podcast and books that help you identify some of the areas that you might want to think about to improve upon your mindset. Because it's all about mindset sometimes when we're struggling or just, angry with the world, or it could be any number of things. But I dare people to take on Brené Brown. She's a tough cookie. She's a straight talker. So don't be offended by some of the words she might use.
Okay. Be ready for the language, everybody, and that's okay,
Yep, that was it.
Rather have that than not, right?
Right.
Okay, perfect. So thank you for that. Well, Linda, amazingly, we are just about here out of time for today, but there's always our next episodes, and definitely, hopefully, have you back on the show again.
My pleasure. So.
Wonderful. I want to thank our co-host, Dana, and, of course, former CSFA president, current queen of financial aid and enrollment management at Sierra College, Linda Williams, for joining us today on What's Brewing CSFA. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
Hey, everyone. Remember to check out the CSFA website at CSFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. You will find our Twitter handle on our homepage, so please follow us on Twitter.
For this and all What's Brewing CSFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcasts.google.com and search for CISFA. For those using Apple devices, search for CISFA on the Apple Podcasts app. And you can always find our episodes at wbccsfa.podbean.com. That's wbccsfaaa.podbean.com. That's the words pod and bean as one word.
You can send us feedback or feed us topics you want to hear on the show. Email us at wbccsfa@gmail.com.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of myself and the wonderful Miss Dana Yarbrough.
This has been episode number 37, recorded the morning of Friday, November 13th, 2020.
Have a great day. And have a great weekend. On behalf of me and Linda and Dana, everyone, have yourselves a great day from us.